This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And may our little people all go and see Miss Sue. She's going to have something else for them to do, and you all have to listen to me. No, Chris Metzger, you can't get up and go with Sue. Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you for all my well wishes coming back. I was in Virginia with my sisters, both of them, and I have to tell you, it's just as hot up there as it is here. So they always give me a hard time about living in South Florida with the heat, and I'm like, my dad used to always say, we have that Gulf Stream, so that breeze is pretty nice. But anyway, it was a wonderful time, and it was a great time because, you know, Williamsburg is pretty amazing in that it's one of the oldest European settlements with Jamestown and Yorktown. It's a wonderful place. If you haven't been in that area, I really highly recommend it to you. It's beautiful, and Williamsburg is just amazing. It's going back in time for sure. So in terms of the sermon we have today, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected time, an unexpected hour. So it's really about the mystery of future, isn't it? The future is all a mystery to us. Just when we think we know what's going to happen, something else does. God surprises us. Jesus is really encouraging us to be ready for the unveiling. Unveiling is what the word apocalypse means. Right now, there's so much on YouTube about the apocalypse. It's unbelievable. But I will tell you that that word actually means the unveiling. So who knows when the apocalypse? Jesus does say in other parts of the gospel, it's not for us to worry about. But it is that we're to be ready. We're to be ready. As I was listening to this this gospel and pondering it, it reminded me of an old song that was back in the, I think, the 60s, and that's Que Sera, Sera.
Whatever will be, will be.
Yes, the future's not ours to see.
Que Sera, Sera.
I had a feeling you all knew that one. So Jesus constantly reassures us to not be afraid. But, you know, the future's very unpredictable and uncertain, so how do we bravely face the unknown? And then we begin to ponder. I don't know why my mind went this way, but you all are used to me. My mind goes in weird ways. It went up to the whole, okay, is our life made up of our choices, or are we made up of fate, that we just follow the path of fate? And I know that God's in charge ultimately, but sometimes, I don't know about you, I feel like I'm rudderless. And I'm at sea. You just don't know. The philosophers have a very fancy way of talking about this conflicting ideas about our lives and how we live it. Determinism and indeterminism. Are our lives planned, which would be determinism, and then we live it out? Or with indeterminism, is it all about our choices? And our lives are completely dependent on them. Personally, and my husband as well, we both see that it's a mixture. That it's a mixture. That we have an amalgam of both choice and fate. Sometimes if you look back on your life, you'll see times that could have been tragic, but you dodged the bullet, right? I was thinking about something that happened to me. When I was graduating from high school, I was ready to go to Florida State and be a Seminole. Had my roommate and everything, go to Tallahassee. And it's funny because Cheryl May was there at the same time I would have been there. But I just decided, no, I wanted to stay with my family for another year because I was a year younger than everybody else. And so I ended up going to Barry, where, as you all know, that's where I met the love of my life. So that was a good choice. But I have to tell you, about 20 years later, I realized something. My sister had gone to Emory and was a Chi Omega at Emory. And so she said to me when I was going to FSU, you're going to go to FSU, you're going to be a Chi Omega. I have you all set for this sorority, you're all done. And I said, what I do to my older sister. Yes, dear, anything you say. Like, older sisters are like that. But anyway, I realized years later that I would have been a senior in the Chi Omega house when Ted Bundy murdered all those girls. And I said to my mother, boy, did I miss that. I'm so glad at the last minute I made this change. But how come some people escape that and some people don't? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. But not to the Greeks. And I started thinking about the Greeks. They had a view that existence was all about our future lives were laid out before us, and we cannot escape our fates. And as I was thinking of this, of course, I thought of that great classic work, Oedipus Rex, by Sophocles. So obviously, he thinks that he can escape it, but he can't. And he ends up murdering his father, committing regicide, and marrying his mother. And Tiresias, the blind prophet, has to tell him, it's you. You're the one who's caused all this horrific famine. And Oedipus ends up, as many of you know, most of you know, he gouges his eyes out, so the blind seer Tiresias knows the truth, and then he only knows the truth when he's blinded, Oedipus. So I thought about that, and I thought that he's really in a situation where he has no hope for redemption, does he? He just ends up wandering, and he ends up having to live with the horror of his acts and the terrifying knowledge that he could have done nothing else because he was trapped in the will of the gods. And then I thought about choice. And I thought about one of my favorite Shakespearean plays, Julius Caesar. And you know, you have that cabal of people in that play who are making moral choices. And they seem more in control than Oedipus. Remember, Cassius says that great line, the fault, dear Brutus, is not in the stars, but in ourselves that we are underlings, right? So when Cassius said this, he's trying to talk Brutus into joining the conspirators. And you know, their original plan is successful. They get rid of the autocrat. They get rid of Caesar. But they also inspire civil war. And it ends up to be horrific. And the conspirators, according to Dante, in the Inferno, are at the deepest circle of hell because of their choice. So we have this whole thing about fate and choice. And then we go to the Bible, of course, the most important part of things that we read. And we see this struggle between fate and choice. When I was thinking of Tiresias, I was thinking of the prophet Nathan. Nathan, to me, is one of my favorite people in the Bibles because Nathan is not afraid to stand up and say to David, you did wrong. You had this affair with Bathsheba, and then you murdered her husband, Uriah the Hittite. You sent him out to be in the front of the battle. You knew what you were doing, too. God has given you so many gifts, David. What happened? Why did you do this? And we even have this beautiful Psalm 51 that David sings. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justify when you judge. So, David has redemption. David is forgiven. He's not forgiven all the way. He's not allowed to build the temple, but he's forgiven. And he goes on to be the great king of Israel and have family. But we know that it must have been very, very difficult because then his children have all kinds of... You want to read a soap opera? Read The Life of David. It's really pretty outrageous. So how does our life unfold? Are we doing this through choice or through fate? Well, we have free will. And yet there's also circumstances beyond our control. We all know that from when we went through COVID. So I was thinking the other thing about the 1970s. Do you remember when Flip Wilson got in drag and said, "The devil made me do it"? So then we also have that enter into the picture. Come on, you all remember Flip Wilson? He was hysterical. I actually thought he was very, very funny. And I started thinking about that, though. That's pretty profound. Did the devil make you do it? A lot of people I've heard say that. They either blame the devil or their parents. So I never understand, you know, which is it. But Jesus always says when he heals somebody, every time, he says, "You're healed," but then he says, "Go and sin no more." Don't forget the second half. He's not saying you get a free pass. He's saying that you have to consider what you did and change and be a different person. And so the question I have is, when do we grow up enough to take responsibility for our choices? Sometimes we have control over events, but sometimes we don't. We have control over how we react to those events. The proverb comes about, "You will reap what you sow." And that means that your actions have consequences. And we could go into a whole nother topic, which I won't today, on karma. And what goes around comes around. In Galatians, Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap." So Paul is really emphasizing this whole notion of sowing and reaping. Our actions have consequences. And sometimes we don't even know what those consequences are. He is warning us about self-deception, about accepting what we need to live mindfully, and we need to know that our choices determine our outcome. I remember when I was senior class advisor at Miami Country Day, and they the kids decided they were going to do a senior prank. You all know what a senior prank is? Well, here's what happened. They thought, "We're going to pick one that's not going to hurt anybody and not going to be a problem at all." So they went out to the field and they took the bleachers, the metal bleachers, and turned them on their side, thinking, "Oh, that's nothing, right?" Well, guess what? They bent the bleachers and they had to replace them at the tune of thousands and thousands of dollars. I think probably Paul's the only one in here that knows how much bleachers cost. But, you know, I mean, they would cry and gnash their teeth to me and they'd say, "Oh my God, Mrs. Cassini, there's no way we knew this was going to happen." Well, they still had to pay for it. They had consequences to their actions. They had no idea that would happen. So the bottom line is today, how do we be prepared for the coming of Christ? I think one way is to be careful about your choices. I think it's really important. And know that your choices have ramifications. And not only that, what I've been listening to lately, I listen to Lectio 365 every morning. It's a wonderful app. And they were saying this week, not only do your choices affect you, but it affects future generations. What we do is going to change the lives of future generations. So how important is that? So we have to remember that we have logic and we have compassion, but also feelings and intuition. And we have to realize that that will take us to choices. Not always the right ones, probably, but at least we have that and know that we are headed to be, we're all souls with ageless consciousness. And the way I'd like to end this sermon is to say a prayer by Thomas Merton, which I think brings all of this together. Let us pray. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me, and I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself, and the fact that I think I'm doing your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen.
Amen. Amen.